Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Ride Owl Politics. It's Friday, March 12, 2021. So today on the show, we're going to talk about all things Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. What does that big bombshell interview mean? You know, Oprah got the scoop. The whole world knows about Meghan and Harry's frustrations with the royal families. There's allegations of racism. There's allegations of neglect towards mental health issues. So there's a whole laundry list of complaints from Harry and Meghan towards the royal family. Do we as Americans care? Is this important? What's the impact on all of us? And is this just another, you know, tabloid celebrity story and we're just obsessing over it because it's the royals? And why do people, especially the press, care about these two? I mean, they're no longer members of the senior royal family circle and we're still paying attention. And we're also going to talk about on the show is the new stimulus package passed by Congress and that will be signed into law this Friday as well by President Biden. So lots to talk about. Today on the show is Chris Alvarez, my husband. He's back. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Chris, welcome to the show.
Yay.
You're back, Terminator style.
Yeah, sometimes.
So I wanted to bring you on to talk about one of the most famous couples right now. Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, Oprah interview. You probably heard about it. So for those of you who haven't heard, you've been stuck under a rock, I guess, for the last few days. Prince Harry of England and his wife, Meghan Markle, gave an interview to Oprah discussing their time as senior members of the royal family in this beautiful home in California, describing all their troubles and frustrations with the royal family and why they decided to step back as senior royals and all of that good stuff. So, Chris, your thoughts?
I want to start off with expressing my gratitude to the Founding Fathers for starting and winning a war so we did not have to give a single damn about these royals. So let's all be very grateful that I can sit here in total ignorance of what a Prince Harry is, how many princes there are, why there's so many princes and dukes and duchesses and whatever the heck else. And it doesn't matter, and I'm good to go. However, I'm aware of these two just because of Meghan Markle, because I did at least see some of Suits. Okay.
So yay. You're one of the few people that did.
That saw Suits?
Yes.
I guess. We never completed that, so at some point we'll have to watch the rest of it. But what I saw was pretty good. And I've seen other interviews that indicate that Meghan was a nice person. So, okay, it's not coming out later on that she had sent out a dangerous tweet 5 years ago.
So what do you think of the subject of the interview? So they discussed a lot of things. They discussed how they felt ignored by the royal family, not protected from the media and from the public. She talked about her mental health being basically swept under a rug, and when she had reached out to HR at the palace and asked for help for her mental health, she was told that that would not be good for, quote, the firm. That's how they refer to the royal family. And also, you know, talking about their son and the fact that their son was not given the title of prince, which we now know there's actually legal reasons for that.
And I had no idea about that and couldn't care. Couldn't be forced to care.
And also the racism claims. Apparently there was a very awkward conversation that took place between Harry and another member of the royal family asking what color would Archie, their son, be.
Yeah, but that right there is, okay, that's just a legitimate question that people are going to ask.
So you think it was a stupid question?
I guess, I mean, it's slightly better than asking what color the sky is going to be, because they were doing probably the equivalent of talking about the weather and, oh, I'm curious, I wonder what shade the baby will be.
So is it that the same thing as
somebody saying, oh, well, the dad has blue eyes and the mom has brown eyes. I wonder what color eyes the baby is going to have. Is that the equivalent of that?
Are we
just not seeing the racial component to it? Because,
well, the problem is I've legitimately sat down and witnessed when I've witnessed actual racism occur. I've also actually sat down and seen where someone was either an idiot or a jerk, and a black person is in our group, and I'm like, man, that person's racist. Like, no, they're an idiot, or they're a jerk, or they just suck at their job. I mean, that person's going to be rude to any one of us. Whereas I have seen people that legitimately act differently because, oh, someone of that ethnicity.
So the palace came out, specifically the queen released a statement saying that, you know, recollections differ, alluding to maybe that's not how the other person remembers that conversation.
Well, and so this could be one of several things. I think it's extremely unlikely that this person is a Klansman. Now, are they what some people call like casually racist? Like, they don't want to burn black people at the stake, but they also don't think that highly of them. There might be a little bit of that. I mean, we are talking about older people from an older generation, from a very old
institution.
And a very old country. So could this person be just slightly backwards or slightly odd compared to us modern millennials? Yeah, probably.
So Prince William, you know who Prince William is? His brother, Prince Harry's brother?
No, I don't. Because the founders of my nation that I decided to defend were kind enough to bequeath on me a free nation where I don't have to care about these
royals. Okay, Thomas Jefferson.
But who the heck is this Prince whatever?
One of them. He's second in line to the throne. He's Prince Harry's older brother. He will ascend to the throne after his father Charles either dies or abdicates.
Yeah, that's the other thing is the fun part of I can't ever remember which prince is married to the queen, and then which prince is child.
So Prince Philip is married to the queen.
Good for him.
I like his last name. His last name is Mountbatten. Sounds badass.
Say that again?
Mountbatten.
I had never heard that before.
So I like his last name. He's actually can trace his ancestry back to the Greek royal family.
Oh,
okay. Yes, Greek had an aristocracy at some point.
Yeah, but which Greek era? Like, are we talking about when Greece was awesome, or are we talking about
as recent as the 20th century?
Eh, meh. I'm sorry, but they kind of stopped being cool during the modern century. After they stopped producing the best generals and philosophers in the world, they kind of just turned
they became passé.
They kind of did.
So that's Prince Philip. Then first in line to the throne is Prince Charles, who was married to Diana.
That's unfortunate.
And from that union came Prince William, and Prince Harry. And Prince William married Kate Middleton and had three kids with her. And the oldest, Prince George, is third in line to the throne.
Yeah, so I remember them making a big deal about Kate Middleton. Like, okay.
I like her. She's very nice and posh and looks sophisticated.
Okay. The cool thing is she will never, ever, ever have influence over my nation.
Oh, goodness me.
So I will respect the queen as the head of state for her country that happens to be one of our closest allies. I respect that. And if you're telling me that these other people are future royals that might be head of state of their country, I will respect them when they are the head of state of their country. Otherwise, I really just don't care.
So the reason I brought up William is because he went to a function recently, mm-hmm, after the interview, and a reporter asked him, reporters, especially the British press, is the royal family racist?
And of course the answer is no.
Right. So, do you think...
Well, I'm not saying the actual answer. I'm saying, of course, his answer is no, I
right.
should say.
But do you think the British royal family just has to come out a little bit more aggressively to denounce this? Or is it sufficient for the Queen to say, you know, recollections vary and leave it at that?
Or how about we just say, yes, they are casually racist because everyone from that era is, and get the hell over it? I mean, are we talking about the millennial generation of the royal family, or are we talking about the ones that survived World War II?
Well,
because the ones that survived World War II are going to have a different perspective, and I recommend just getting over it rather than getting upset about it.
Well, here's the thing. The fact that Meghan didn't say who the member of the royal family that was part of that racially charged conversation kind of throws paint on all of them, because you don't know who it is. So now all of them are guilty by association, and I think that does more harm than good.
Well, and once again,
the only people,
the question was, what color is the baby's skin gonna be? That's not racism. Now, if they were doing it and then sticking their nose up in the air, well, guess what? That's British aristocracy. I feel like at some point this woman needed to know what she was walking into, and it seems weird that she didn't.
I don't buy the narrative that she didn't. She seems smart enough to at least do a Google search on who these people are.
And, well, not just that, but have enough interaction with British people in general to at least pick up some of the...
She lived in Canada for many years because that's where Suits was filmed.
Well,
and that's part of that's part of the Commonwealth. Come on.
Arguably, Canadians are more American, are more similar to the United States, I should say, because they are American. So Canadians are Americans that resemble the United States a lot of times, a little bit more so than the British, even in their accent. You notice that their accent resembles ours, just with a little bit of quirk here and there. Except for French Canadians, which no one likes. But British Canadians tend to be more American than they are British.
So here's another point in that interview that for me was interesting. This whole discussion that Archie the baby, the reason why he wasn't given the title of prince. And she was saying that she was a little bit uncomfortable with the first, you know, a person of color born into the family didn't receive the title as prince, and that although she didn't really care about, you know, the titles of nobility and all of that, she wanted the protection that came with the title.
But okay, I'm saying this as someone who does not know nor cares about how these lines of succession work, but I can think in terms of math. And mathematically, you cannot give every single person that ever has a single tie to the royal family the title of prince.
Well, the Queen's father, King George, made an edict back in the 20th century, in the 1950s or 40s, where only the grandchildren of the monarch and those that are in direct line to succession get the title of prince and princess.
Makes sense.
So technically Harry's baby would not qualify. It's a great-grandchild. And
beyond that, I mean, it's nowhere in the line of succession, so why the hell would you do that? The problem is if you do that long enough, then everyone's a flippin' prince after a while.
Well, but when Prince Charles becomes King Charles, he could technically give the baby a title at that point.
Sure.
But a lot of people know that...
Or why don't we make the baby earn it, the rest of us have to.
Well, that's another thing. These two people are talking about, you know, they had such a hard time. Prince Harry's talking about how he's been cut off financially from his family. And yeah, these people are making $100 million deals with Spotify and Netflix. I mean, God bless them, but it's not like they're in the poorhouse. And then Harry in the interview talks about, oh, I was only left with my mother's inheritance, that's all we have. And he
what, 14 million?
15 million.
15 million. I feel like if I had inheritance like that, I'd be pretty comfortable. But I would still go about it Thomas Jefferson style and make that last for the rest of my life and still have some left over for the kids.
Yeah. Remember, after not paying a dime for yourself for your 30 plus years and then having to, you know, actually pay for stuff, that's quite of a lifestyle change.
I guess.
You can relate.
I can't shove my head that far up my backside to not know how to do budgets and accounting, so.
Talking about budgets and accounting and monies and all of that, stimulus package just passed here in the U.S., going to be signed tomorrow by President Biden. Each person is getting $1,400 if you're at a certain income bracket.
And if you're middle class, just know that you're on the hook for $5,000 to pay back. So it's only about 300% interest that you'll pay throughout your lifetime and your children.
There's will pay. No such thing as free money. Like, eventually these chickens are going to come home to roost.
Yeah. But that's okay. I'm not saying that as someone who's not going to cash a check. As soon as that check comes in, I'm cashing it.
Well, it's going to come in direct deposit.
Not the last one.
Really?
Whatever. I'm not going to turn away the money. And sure, it'll benefit us in the short term. Is it something I would have wanted? Not necessarily. Then again, I definitely would prefer a lot more checks being sent to citizens than to corporations or to foreign entities, which that's the annoying part.
I don't know. They asked Nancy Pelosi if this was the last stimulus, and she's like, well, it all depends on the virus. If the virus continues to mutate, there may be more stimulus. I think this is just creating a dependency on big government. And it's changing the way people look at government. And before, government, a handout from the government was just, you know, something for dire circumstances. Now it's becoming, you know, every day. And that's troublesome and scary.
Well, and at least for me, just looking at the current economy and the future economy, I'm actually a fan of the concept of a universal basic income, but not this piecemeal crap, because this piecemeal crap is exactly what you're talking about, where it makes you dependent on, I have to elect the right person, which, you know, usually has a D after their name, to get my checks. And what would be more beneficial to the citizenry and the economy, which is probably exactly why they wouldn't do it, is if it's just, okay, throw a check out there and then collect it back via income tax if you make too much.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're not going to say no to the money. I'm just scared what this is going to happen. First, to the relationship between government and the people, and two, you know, once the tax man comes calling, we're all going to pay.
The tax part is annoying, because it's not like I consensually agreed to this loan, but I have it forced down my neck and I just have to accept it because there's people with guns pointing their guns at me. So I can scream taxation is theft, but I'm still going to pay my taxes.
Right.
No. So I don't like that part. I do think that we do need to think about, you know, what is supposed to be the role of government, the federal government and state governments. And I would still argue that there is a place for the federal and maybe even the state governments to be involved in emergency management. I think that that's something that if the private sector can do it, please leave it to the private sector. But at some point, you know, a pandemic, a hurricane, stuff like this, you tend to need at least some organization to come in and help out. Any NGO that can, delegate it to them. But there's going to be certain things that it's just going to be like, hey, we need the federal government, FEMA, whatever, come in, set up tents, set up this, set up hospitals. Hopefully they'll use them this time. But I think that there is a role for that.
No, I hear you. So there is a role for government. I think that's what separates us from anarchists.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the concept of anarcho-capitalism, But even then, it's like, well, you still are going to have governance, and it's going to be harder to establish proper governance there than maybe in a democracy.
I agree. Well, Chris, thanks for coming on the show. Yeah. Can I call you my Prince Charming? Since we were on the subject of princes and all of that.
You know, anytime I hear the name Prince Charming, I remember that trailer that had Chris Pine saying, I'm supposed to be charming, not sincere. Well, tell you what, I'm supposed to be sincere, not charming.
Fair enough. Thanks for coming on the show.
Glad to be, as always.
Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Please find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you hear your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star review to show your support. We're doing excellent at all those platforms, so continue listening to us. We really appreciate all your love and support this last almost a year now that this podcast went live. So thank you so much. Also, you can find us at Right Owl Politics on Instagram. Follow us there for the latest up-to-date news of what's coming next on the show, what's going on as far as coverage, guests, all of that good stuff. So follow us, subscribe, leave a review, share with friends. And remember, we're not your dad's political news show, so spread the word. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.